Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks to Byron Kerr for getting us up to speed in the update. Grant and Danny kicking off our 4 o'clock hour all over D.C. Thanks for listening. You're locked into The Fan. We're also in Richmond, 9, 10 a.m., 105.1 FM. Remember to take us with you via Odyssey. If you had the radio.com app, great. You still got it, but now it's called Odyssey. And if you don't have that app, you should get it. Odyssey is your new home for all the audio that matters to you. Download the Odyssey app today to listen to G&D and all your favorite shows here on The Fan. Right now, it is time for our Beltway Blitz. We've got the Nats coming up in just a few and the Washington football team this segment as well. Let's get started on the hardwood. Our pal, Glenn Consor, you hear him on the Wizards Radio Network. You see him occasionally pre and post NBC Sports Washington. Glenn, I didn't know the Wizards were allowed to play nationally televised games, but that will happen tonight against the Lakers, huh?
Well, you know, I think we're one of the hottest teams in the league right now, and why not put it on national TV when you have just really, I think, the most exciting backcourt in the NBA in Westbrook and Beal, and it's going to be looked at a defending champs, and sure, there's no LeBron, but Anthony Davis is back. It's going to be tough.
How do they get more out of Rui and Bertans, in your opinion, Glenn? When you mentioned that backcourt, it's great. There's no dispute there, but they need those other guys to carry their weight a little bit more as well. How do they get more looks, and how do they get more involved?
Well, you know, I think it really depends on matchups and who you're playing. You know, I definitely think Bertans is getting back in shape and becoming the old Bertans that we saw last year. And Rui had, you know, fought some injuries, so now he's back. And, look, one of the things you can do to get those guys involved is play more pick and roll. You know, with Rui, it's pick and pop and roll, and with Bertans, it's more pick and pop. You spread them out, and also you run. If they run more, they'll get more looks.
What has Daniel Gafford done to make such an impact? He's 10-2 as a Wizard in 12 games.
Energy and above the rim playing. He's a vertical defender, which they haven't had in years. It's a guy I know that Danny wanted for a long time, because I wanted him for a long time, and Danny's still doing his impressions of me. So we're really the same person.
That's right.
No, but he brings that lob threat, pick and roll. You know, he's very smart. I mean, he's an excellent passer. He has a good feel for the game. I do think he needs to get stronger with his upper body and his base, but he's 22 years old. So I just love what he brings. I mean, he brings pop and fire in a position that, you know, we hadn't seen someone like that. Look, you know, you think about Gortat. Gortat was more, you know, an elite defender and tough guy. This guy brings, you know, that DeAndre Jordan-ish type situation in the middle, which we haven't had in a while.
Glenn, a little over a month ago, this team was, I think, either 29th or 30th in most defensive kind of metrics and ratings. They're not world-beating at this point, but over the last month, they've jumped up into, I think, they're around 20th in defensive rating. You could see it on a nightly basis. The point total is because they play facts. I'm not worried about the other team getting buckets too, but their rating has really, really improved. That's kind of coincided with Gafford's arrival. What else are you seeing that's led to this uptick in defense?
You know, I think Beal and Westbrook are holding the team accountable defensively. Danny, you and I have talked about this for a long time. They need physicality. They need those guys to get physical. And what we've seen since the uptick, obviously, when you have a guy like Gafford back there, you could be more aggressive on the perimeter because if you get burnt, you know, he's there either on the strong side or the weak side to help. And that was missing. But, you know, I think overall, making the defense, making the offense feel you, you know, banging cuts, tagging guys cutting through the middle, just being much more physical overall. It has nothing to do with really schemes. It's more, you know, I think Scott Brooks has done a real good job also of changing up his defense. You know, he's incorporating zones, on occasion to keep guys off balance. He's done a real good job really emphasizing the physicality on the perimeter. Now that you got a guy in there that could help, you can be more physical on the perimeter.
Glenn, make sure you listen to Glenn Consor as part of the Wizards radio calls. Thank you, Glenn. We appreciate it. Enjoy tonight's game. 7:30 tip with the Lakers.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Should be an entertaining ball game for Scott Brooks's bunch. He was on the show yesterday. If you missed that interview, you can podcast it at thefandc.com for Brooks. All right, let's move along. Let's talk some baseball. Three losses in a row for the Nats. Last night was not Max Scherzer's night. Chelsea Janes covers not only the Nats, but all of Major League Baseball for the Washington Post. Chelsea, what do you make of the Nats' slow start to the season?
You know, honestly, I think it's to be expected. You know, I think that they, this year, perhaps more than any other in recent years, were really fragile. And if they had a lot of injuries, they were going to struggle. And I think they've had that and more with the COVID scare, you know, Soto, obviously Strasburg. So, you know, I think they're going to struggle if they don't have their old team, and particularly if the guys they do have aren't, you know, kind of performing. I think, you know, the fact that right now there's so much pressure on Max to do well, like you got to win every Max start, pretty much says it all, because as soon as that kind of pressure's on him, it makes things harder for him too. So they're in a fragile spot.
Bell moved down to sixth in the order today, but he's been hitting 3-4, et cetera, down to 109 like a pitcher at this stage. And he was killing the ball in spring training, Chelsea. You mentioned that kind of stop and start with him. What do you do there? Because Zim is hitting. They don't want to play him every day. They need Josh to give Josh Bell at bats, but his at bats are killing them. I don't know how you handle this thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think you have an easy fix there. You know, I think that he's someone they knew was going to be streaky. That, from what I understand, was his history in Pittsburgh. And just like everything else right now, like, you can't afford to have him be streaky when Juan Soto's out. So that's sort of the fragility of this lineup, is you just have to have a couple of those guys going at once. And, you know, I think he'll figure it out. There's no reason to believe he won't. It's not like he's in a fresh league where he doesn't know what he's looking at. You know, I think he'll be fine. But it's right now just they're in a precarious position. They don't have the depth. They aren't overflowing with talent like they have been. You know, they don't have the obvious bench guy like a Howie Kendrick to come in and sort of stabilize the lineup when you need it. So I think they're just going to have to gut this out until Soto's back, until Bell gets going, and you know, hopefully their pitching staff sort of settles too.
Do you feel like they've got enough that when they get some of those things back, they can go on a run in a tough division and make some noise?
I'm not sure. I think if someone was running away with the division, I would say no, but they aren't. You know, the Braves have struggled. You know, the Phillies, we don't really know what you're getting with that. But the Mets, they look fine, but it's not like they've totally put it together either. So, you know, I thought this division was really going to be defined by who stayed healthy, and they've kind of lost that battle so far, but it doesn't mean they will the whole way. And if Strasburg's sort of okay, if you get Soto back, you know, you don't know what the Mets and, you know, others are going to encounter. So I think they can hang in there. I just don't know if they have enough to do much more than that.
Chelsea, this is a bad question, Just be prepared for that. Here it comes. Cool. Victor Robles drives me crazy. Is there ever going to be a time he doesn't drive me crazy and just, like, does good baseball things all the time?
I don't know. You know, I think my phone is buzzing, so I'm sorry about that. It's an alarm for me to be careful how I answer. But, I think Robles is a frustrating player. He's got a really good attitude. Seems like he's a fun guy. But it just feels like he should be better defensively. And I don't know if that's a focus thing. You know, offensively, you could give him a little bit. I feel like young guys are really up and down. He still qualifies as young, and you would expect that to take some time. But the defense is what really gets me, and I don't know how you fix that. I know they've tried. They've got the weight down. The speed is there. I think it might be a focus thing. It doesn't necessarily mean a grand moral failing on his part. Maybe it comes with experience, but he's been maddening. There's no doubt about it.
Do we have any updates on Soto and Stras? Are they going to be ready to jump right back in when their IL stints end?
My understanding from being slightly less plugged in than I have been in the past is that Soto probably will be and Stras probably won't be, which I don't think is surprising or a particularly detailed answer, but I think it's fair to expect that Soto will be back as soon as he can be. And I have no, timetable on Stras, and I think that's sort of what we're used to.
But yeah, remember, Stras wasn't actually hurt. It was just mechanics. There's nothing wrong with him.
Right. So what do I know? Maybe he'll be back too.
Yeah, but it's weird that he's on the injured list for a mechanical issue.
Just a mechanical
thing. Very strange.
Jess, you're the best. Thanks as always for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Talk soon. Washington football team, please, Darius.
The Washington football team.
I knew he was coming. There he just got jammed up a little bit. He got a little bottleneck. Matt Paris covers the Washington football team. Matt, if they stay at 19, what do they do?
I think they go tackle. I mean, it makes sense if they were to address defense there, but I think tackle is a bit too big of a need. So if Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech is sitting there, I think they go that route.
Cornelius Lucas played a really good left tackle last season. It seems like nobody cares about that. Do they feel like he played okay? I mean, we all say, and I'm in this boat too for the record, like they need a tackle. I say that too. But based on last season, it's not that big of a need. He played really well.
Yeah, no, he did play well, but he's entering the last year of his contract. He is a little bit older. I think he's 32, somewhere in there, maybe 30. I don't know his age off the top of my head, but, he played well, but he played fine. I mean, he wasn't Trent Williams, and, that's a spot where you need your star left, you need a star left tackle, and I think Christian Darrisaw, he could be a Pro Bowl type player. And, if Washington's offensive line is solid right now, but who knows how it looks in a year from now, if Brandon Cherif leaves in free agency, then you're going to need a star on that spot. And tackle is the most obvious place where you would want it to be, even more so than guard. So, I would lean that route. Linebacker's a need for them, but, just tackle, Go with the tackle. It's not that complicated.
You mentioned guard. They spend basically twice as much on guard as anybody else in the league. That's, because of Sheriff's enormous deal, and even with the little bit that Flowers is making, it's not even – the next best team is like Jacksonville, and they're like $6-7 million less, like twice as much as Tampa, et cetera. Right. And then we heard that they like Elijah Vera Tucker, like another guard. I mean, so – I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of asking you about that. Like, what's the deal with their love affair with guards, and why does the rest of the league think like they do?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, and I think it may be the way that Rivera thinks about defense, too, because we heard him last season say that with the interior, or with the pass rush, the reason why pass rush is so successful in the NFL is because a lot of the times it comes from the interior. So if those guys, if you're generating pass rush from the interior, well, how do you stop it? Well, you stop it with guards. And Brandon Cherif is a great example of that. And, the move to add Eric Flowers, I think, they're only paying him $3 million, so it's not nearly as much as the $9 million that he was set to make this year. But, I think having that option there, they like it, even if it's, it is kind of crazy how much they spend at that position, all things considered, though.
Matt Paris, we like you too, man. Thank you. Be well. Appreciate you. There is Matt Paris of the Washington Times on Grant and Danny as part of our Beltway Blitz here on The Fan. They do love guard. You can say a lot of things about the Washington football team outfit. They've had a good offseason. That's one of them. But another thing you got to say about them, they really care about guards.
They love them.
They've gone for a guy who hated guards.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Sheriff
was a disdain for guards.
One of the best in the league. And he's like, that guy over there, see that? And I'm like, Brandon Sheriff, the All-Pro? And he's like,
a guy that never plays in a guard.
He's a guard, for God's sake, man. What am I supposed to do with a guard? You drafted a guard?
What am I going to do, play him at guard?
What do you want me to do with that? You want to win a football game with a guard?
Can he throw a pass to himself at guard?
Now they just want to draft guards a lot. Chris Sims, I think he ate a crazy pill or two. He thinks Washington straightened up to get Trey Lance. Nobody else thinks this. I haven't seen this anywhere else. Chris Sims, in his latest mock, in his latest projection, as the Washington football team trading up into the top 10 to take Trey Lance. Let's do that next on G&D. John Carlson, the Caps at 440.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Carolina Panthers at pick number 8. I got him. Trade him back. Because the Washington football team is coming up to take Trey Lance.
Wow.
Okay.
Washington.
And there's
trading
my
up.
First. That I just feel like Washington's a team that's got a lot of things on their roster that are really good. You know, I know there's some teams that are hot on Trey Lance. I've been told by some people in the know. All right. I don't know for sure if it's Washington.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that they are one of the teams here that makes a play.
So they would go from 19
yes.
all the way to 8.
Right.
It'd
Which
be
is going
to
be a haul.
To know what that haul would
I
be.
Know.
Is that multiple first rounders?
It might be. It might take, you know, a swapping in this first round, next year's first round, and probably some other stuff to go along with
yeah.
it. Yes.
Chris Sims, NBC, says Washington's trading up into the top 10 for Trey Lance. I want to get into that with you in just a second. But I jotted down, in fact, on a sticky note of all things. True story. Found a sticky note in my kitchen, and I wrote on a sticky note like I was on the movie Draft Day that I wanted to mention today, not mm-hmm. knowing at all that you'd met this guy, astronaut Michael Collins.
Yes.
Dying at 90 years
90
old.
90 years old, man.
Now, I had never heard of Michael Collins before today, but I was thinking about, like, Fred Claus, the brother of Santa Claus. Like, people that no one ever talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone did something awesome, the person that was with them that helped make it possible, but they don't get the credit for it. This is one of the best examples of that ever. He flew Apollo 11.
Yep.
Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong. We know those guys. Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon first. Buzz Aldrin gets a little bit less credit than he probably should.
But still plenty of shine.
But he gets some yeah. headlines. Buzz and Neil, they're the guys. And if you said
Buzz and Neil,
who was the third astronaut? I never could have told you. So I, as if I'm going to write that wrong all by myself today on Greg and Danny, I wrote it down and I said, I want to shout out his family and just say, wow, that's amazing. This is one thing that I get oddly into. I get super, like,
I think it's odd.
You got a documentary? I'll watch it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not odd
There's
at all.
There's a couple
it's
things.
Amazing.
Like, this sounds bad, but September 11th. You got a documentary on the moments before and after at the World Trade Center and what happened on September 11th. I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
The Titanic. Same kind of vein, right?
Uh-huh.
I will watch whatever you got on the Titanic. At the book fair, when I was in elementary school, Scholastic Book Fair, I could still smell it. You go in, you get your poster of Chipper Jones, the Atlanta Braves, or like some Ferrari or something. You know about the book fair.
Oh, of course.
You ever been to a book fair?
I've been to a book fair, yeah.
I love book fairs.
Book
they bring in those little cases, those little shelves, and they put up all the books. There's like 12 of them, and then they go to the next town. It's like a little traveling circus.
Mm-hmm.
Love the book fair. I got a book one time all about the truth of the Titanic, basically. Like third grade, I was all in, I think, because the movie had come out, and I was all about it. But another thing that I am just hooked on, like phonics, Apollo 11. Just landing on the moon.
Think about that. Think about the NADS.
A human being walking on the moon.
You're going to sit in this chair strapped to hundreds and hundreds of tons of fuel that's going to burn harder than anything's ever burned. You're going to go straight up in the air, and you're going to stop on a dime, basically, in outer space, spin around a couple times, go someplace that nobody's ever been, pick up some dirt, and head on back. I'm sure.
Bro, when I'm in an airplane, yeah. I'm a good flyer, by the way.
Well, you fall asleep instantly. It's your mutant ability.
But I've never had flying issues. I'm not one of these people that has an issue problem flying.
Mm-hmm.
Something is afoot. Something is amiss. There's a little turbulence.
Yeah.
I automatically assume somehow, some way, this is the one plane.
This is it.
On the commercial airlines, it's been probably 26 years since I'm the one. It's like we are Marshall and me. I just assume the first time something happens on that flight, it's like that football team at Marshall years ago, and now I'm the next guy.
I pretty much think if there's the slightest bit of course correction, we're the next Malaysian air flight. That's
when
gone.
The pilot.
Yeah. Guys, folks.
It's very pretty up here. We're going to get to 35,000 feet. Best comfort for you guys. It's always the same, like, dragged out. You know, he's like, I've told the, is it flight attendants or stewardesses? What am I supposed to say?
Flight attendants. I think.
I've told the flight attendants I could bring the drinks and the food back. And we're gonna be putting this plane down about 22 minutes.
Like, I know, because he just said it. Everything couldn't be going better up here. Second later, he just kind of turns the, is it a wheel? What would it be?
Yeah.
He turns the wheel.
Yeah.
And the wings just change the degrees a little bit.
Yep.
You know, we go from like flying this way to now we're like at a little bit
slight
different.
Of an angle, a little bit of a lurch, Jason Bishop.
And he just told me, best flight I've ever been on. Not any issues at all. My co-pilot is best in the game. Just told me all that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, oh, no.
Here it is.
Everything just changed.
This is it.
He just talked to us 5 seconds ago.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, enough about me and flying. The point of the dude's story is Michael Collins, man.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Collins. So you just told me. I said, like, this guy, he passed away, and no one ever talks about him, and he flew. It basically, imagine dropping your buddies off at the mall. They're going to run in and go to the store, and you're just going to, I'm going to drive around the parking lot real quick. He did that, except he drove around the moon.
The moon, man.
Why couldn't he stay? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I'm
part,
not quite sure either.
But he dropped them off.
So there's astrophysics, which is something I'm really an expert in, but this one eluded me. No, I have no idea.
But you know that he did this.
Yeah, of course.
He drops them off.
No, I know very well.
Like,
yeah.
They are going to go into a store to pick up milk.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom has done this before. She goes, hey, Danny, I'll pick you up, but I'll meet you on the other side. I'm running around the parking lot, and I'll come back.
Yeah.
Dog's in the car, whatever. He did that, but around the moon.
But around the moon.
But and then you told me, and blew my mind, you met this guy.
Of course.
And shocking development. Of all the developments that have ever developed, St. Albans.
Yeah, well, I don't know why
because
that surprises you.
Just every person I've ever been interested in somehow went to St. Albans and has given a speech when you were there. It's incredible.
Class of 1948, just an absolute badass, by
Private
the way.
School is just a different breed, man. It's a weird thing.
Just an absolute badass. I will never forget the assembly.
Yeah, I want to hear about
it. So I met him two different times. So he actually came to Career Day, which is pretty amazing.
The poor bastards who were talking at the same time as him. Hey, Dad, will you come to Career Day?
Nope.
Well, son, I'd love to. I don't know if people care that much about my desk job. They do, Dad. They'll you.
Yeah, so
and
there
you're
was
giving
one,
your pitch. Yeah. And two people over, Michael Collins has 63 kids sitting around.
Right, I know. So it was like one guy's like, I'm a lawyer, and that's awesome. Why is your session empty? There's Michael Collins talking about the time he went in space. So I'll never forget, I think it was definitely lower school. I want to say like maybe fifth or sixth grade, right? And he spoke at the assembly, was kind enough to come and tell us about it. And that time he was already still in great shape, but like, you know, had clearly lived and was in his, I think probably in his 60s at that point, right?
Did he, I just raised my hand like I was in class.
Grant, I'll call on you.
Thank you. Did he come to do this assembly solely about his experience? Like we've got astronaut, or was it a larger thing about like space and he was the keynote speaker?
It was really just about him.
Okay.
It was about him. Yeah, and he was so generous with his time. It was awesome.
If you land on the moon,
seriously,
you get your own day at St. Albans.
So, and you know, yeah, little twerps that think they've seen everything and like, you know, are just so obnoxious, whatever.
What jerks.
He's sitting there, spinning this story, and I remember being absolutely beyond mesmerized by it, right? Where he's like, my job was very simple because he was this world-class pilot. I'm like, oh, this airline pilot, that's really good. This is different. This is Air Force. This is fighter pilots. He was the test pilot. You got a new plane, you call Collins.
So that's
right.
This is a dumb question. Oh, my assumption has always been if you're going to be the guy flying the spacecraft to the moon, then you were likely one of the best pilots in the military that we had first.
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
This was pretty much our one seed.
Okay.
Like if you got,
that in and of itself is a super cool distinction.
We got a new airplane we're going to throw up there. Who do we get? You get Collins. And if he's not available, you wait till Collins can come.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
What
I'm telling
guy.
You, badass, right? So he's telling the story. He's like, well, you know, they strap you in because you have to sit vertically, right? So you're sitting back, but your back is, you know, completely parallel with the ground.
That's like so Armageddon. Picture Armageddon.
You're
in the movie.
You're looking straight up, and he said nothing could prepare you. You go through every exercise, you go through every low G thing, every bit of technology they have, every wind tunnel. Nothing could prepare you for that feeling of pause and then acceleration like you've never felt in your life. Everything rattles. The way you described it was my organs rattled, right? And you go shoot up into space, and then it's out of your hands, and then all of a sudden, boom, as the things detach, it becomes you're in control, and you're in outer space. You don't have time to look at your rearview mirror.
And then it gets calm again.
In a sense, but your slightest, think about this. A Major League Baseball pitcher from 60 feet, 6 inches, releases a little bit in front, call it a foot and a half or 2 feet in front, right? If you're perfect and straight and true with the release point off your fingertips, it's a strike. If you move the dial clockwise or counterclockwise, a quarter of an inch.
Meaning if you put your fingers out in front of you right now, if you got your two fingers like you're giving a peace sign, if you move the right or the left pinky or the right or the left finger like a little bit in either direction.
A quarter of an inch. It's a ball by 3 feet.
Yeah.
Well, either way. And you hit a batter. Think about that, but with tens of thousands of miles and one chance to get it right. In terms of your instruments, in terms of your feel, in terms of the course, in terms of your momentum and the calculations and everything that's needed. Any mistake in the unforgiving vacuum of death that is space, everyone dies. And everyone's sitting there, and all of a sudden the twerps were silent. They were listening to Mr. Collins talk, right? So he talks about then, as you get close to, you know, I think it was because they didn't think they could land and then have the thrust necessary, given orbits and given where they were trying to come back to with all the smart folks at NASA, they had to orbit. I think I've got this right, but this was 30 years ago. I don't remember it specifically. But the key part of the story that he told was after he drops off Neil and Buzz, his pals, by the way, that he flew to the moon
with.
Hey, guys,
see you in a few. I'll drive around the moon now. And
enjoy it.
I mean, how long does that take? Hours? It can't be days.
I think it's a while, right? Because he's not thrusting. He's going via the gravity, and he's got it just in line enough to do it, right?
So he could, by the way, is he alone? Aircraft? Is it a rocket? Spaceship? What are we talking about?
Yeah, the craft at this point. I just call that a craft.
Let's call it a spaceship. Yeah, it sounds better. He's alone on it in outer space. He's the first person in history to ever basically just be next to the moon by himself.
So the story that he told from that moment on, and there's a passage in his book about this, is once the guys are dropped off, he then proceeds to orbit the moon in such a way that he ends up on the dark side of the moon. Okay? Pink Floyd, shout out. No sun, no earth, no light. Completely, 100% in a void of darkness and silence to the point that you don't know which way is up, down, left, right, up and down. Our notion of north and south, up and down is influenced by gravity, what's always been below us, what's always been above us. Think about nothingness everywhere.
I can't.
It's beyond disorienting.
My little peanut brain can't wrap my head around that.
So he flies around, and because of where the technology was, there's no satellite to bounce things off of at this point. He's completely dark, and he's completely alone in a way that no one has ever been alone in the history of mankind at that point. He can't communicate with Earth. He can't communicate with his friends on the mission. He can't have anybody tell him, Michael, you're doing great. You're going to be okay. This will be over in 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. He doesn't know. He's basically sitting there completely out of control in utter blackness and silence in the void of space. Mm. That goes on for how long it goes on. I forget how long it does, and I apologize for that. And then when you crest over that part of the moon, it's not the sun that's bright, just given the angle of where it was. His description of the blue light from Earth, when all he'd seen for the previous however many minutes was utter darkness, was so vivid. It's something I'll never forget. That ocean of blue is the way he called it. Light cascaded and, you know, almost blinds you initially because you're so used to having something else in your field of vision. It was one of the most amazing assemblies we ever had. It was way better than the guy that played like songs about not bullying with his guitar that we had like a few weeks before. That assembly kicked ass. Rest in peace, Michael Collins.
Rest in peace. When
legend.
When we die, if we have to like hand someone a business card,
yeah,
and on that business card it says your name and like a bullet point about your life, his will say, flew the rocket that took mankind to the moon for the first time. That is as cool a business card as you can present. Hey, wherever you got to present it. The pearly gates, I don't know. Whatever happens.
What's your criteria? What's your... what's your resume? What's your You want to get
what
in here? What do you do?
Card right now. Think about that.
Loved attention, and then they handed it in. Is that good enough?
I didn't mean you specifically, more rhetorically.
No, I was answering.
But who's got a better business card?
Yeah,
than
basically
him?
Neil Armstrong's like first guy to walk on the moon. You could give me a table inside. Buzz was like I was second. 12 people have done it in history. 12.
Badass. Until right now, my favorite pilot of a spacecraft ever was Colonel Willie Sharp from Armageddon. He's the guy that Bruce Willis
permission to shake the hand of the bravest man. Permission to shake the hand of the daughter of the bravest woman man I've ever met.
No. Permission to shake the hand of the daughter of the bravest man that I've ever met. Colonel Willie Sharp.
It's a mouthful. It's a weird turn of a phrase.
John Carlson will join us next. We can ask him what would be on his business card. That's a little bit morose. We won't do that. We won't ask him what will be on his
business John,
card.
When you die, let's not do that.
No.
Let's just talk about the Islanders and the Penguins and them playing well.
Better idea.
Yeah.
Grant and Danny on the fan. We'll get back into the Chris Sims thinking Washington will trade up for Trey Lance. Sorry for the aside, but that is really cool, and that's too bad. Passed away at 90, so thoughts and prayers with his family. This is G&D.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
How about the Caps? All they do is beat the Islanders. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fin. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Our weekly appointment with our buddy John Carlson, Caps defenseman, Caps defense, zero even strength goals, 5-on-5 in these 3 games against the Isles. 18 shots allowed last night as they pitched a second shutout in 3 games. Carly, not just wins, man, these were style point wins. This felt good. This was a kind of cock of the walk, chest out as a Caps fan, like wear your gear out today and look for an Islanders fan to yell at kind of thing. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I think, obviously a lot goes into that to get us to where we are, but certainly the execution of our game plan and what our capabilities are was right up there with some of the best all season long. So, a great opponent and a good time of year to, start hitting some of your stride, I think.
What can you say about the goaltenders? It's like, doesn't matter who's behind you guys. You're pitching shutouts, and these guys are making plays behind you, man. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great problem to have. They've been battling it out down the stretch, and like you said, it just nobody really has a bad game. So I'm sure for a coach, that's great and difficult at the same time. But as a player, we're confident with whoever's in net, and we just go about our business.
You guys went 7-0 when Willie was suspended. You're 2-0 without Ovechkin right now. You had a heater early in the season when all the different guys were missing among the forwards. How is that a thing, and why does that happen, do you think?
I think that we're deep. I think that's the biggest thing, and we have a lot of guys that are capable of stepping up. And I think, just when you're on a good team, when you're a left winger in the Capitals organization any time in the past 15 years, the chances to play on that top line left wing are, Ovi's maybe missed, I don't know, just a guess, 30 to 50 games in his whole entire career. That's 30 or 50 games in a long time that someone's been able to play in that spot. So I think people are hungry to get their crack at it and ready to do it. And I think just being on a successful team, I think learning from each other, learning them how people go about their business when it's time to punch the clock. I think we've been doing a great job doing it.
John Carlson with us here on Grant and Danny. John, when you guys are defending like you did last night, really all 3 games against the Islanders, what's kind of the secret sauce there? When you guys are doing it right, it looks like that. I mean, to my untrained eye, I just see a bunch of frustrated opponents that cannot figure out how to get through you guys, how to get any good looks, how to keep possession of the puck, etc. Looks like this impossible. Look, you guys have 7 or 8 dudes out there. Maybe that's the secret. But what is it that you guys are doing when it's that good?
Well, I think just, specifically in the D zone, I think just stopping the puck quickly. I think people like to get motion and movement and try to start drawing people out of coverage the best they can. Any player or any team would say that. And I think the quicker you are to close on the puck to get it stopped, I think allows, our defensive pressure to be a lot more acute and put them in a worse spot when they can switch sides, when they can move it low to high. People have to start doing other jobs instead of being in a collapsed formation, which most teams are, and certainly we are when the puck is low. And I think we can outnumber them when it's stagnant, and when they keep moving, we got to kind of check off and play more of a zone style defense, I would say. And that allows for a lot more zone time for them. And, playing defense isn't easy. You get tired. Mentally it's tough to stick with things, and that's how breakdowns happen for anybody.
The Caps have 7 games left after taking all 3 of their matchups with the Islanders this week. So they have buried New York for the moment, 5 points back in the division. Next up, the Penguins. Now, we just got through this routine of talking about how big these games were because you were tied with the Islanders in first place, and you guys can't do a better job than you did. And now we got to have the exact same conversation about the Penguins because you come in 1 point ahead of them with back-to-back games now. This is a lot of fun coming down the stretch. Does it feel in any way like the playoffs have started, or is it still very different than what it's going to be like in a couple weeks?
No, I think it's still very different, but at the same time, I think that we want to finish first. I think, but more so than finishing in first, I think is just how we want to play the game. And like I said before, just you want to be playing your best hockey going into the playoffs. And I think we've done that the past few games, but you know, that's not going to take us to the playoffs. So we got to keep this up and keep that momentum rolling. I think that's it's a great time to kind of hit your stride. And but yeah, it's just a crazy year. It seems like all but, you know, two teams in our division had a really good chance to not only just make the playoffs, but to finish first in the division. And I think that's kind of what you see now. It's a little crazy. We were just, like you said, that's what's being said in the locker room. You know, it's a first place game. And then you win that first place game and you turn around and you got another game for first place the next day against a different team. That's just the way these divisions are working right now. And it's good. It's good to have exciting hockey. It's very engaging, obviously, and we're looking forward to it.
John Carlson of the Capitals on Grant and Danny. And we were talking last segment about a local D.C. guy who was an astronaut who just passed away at 90, who flew the first flight that landed on the moon, Apollo 11. And we were getting into that. We were saying how, like, there's certain random things that we're fascinated by and that we'll watch any documentary on. And for me, like, space travel's one. Do you have something like that where you don't know why, but at some point along the way, you just became fixated on it? And so if someone does research on it, you will find it?
No, I would say I stick more to sports or, you know, maybe, you know, crime, murder, documentary, something like that would pique my interest. I think that's I like all types of documentaries. I'm kind of actually starting, I feel like, to gravitate more than movies. I think when I sit down and have a couple hours, I want to learn something versus just pass the time. And that's kind of been
that's
where I'm going.
That's such a dad thing. Like, that just means you're getting old, I think, right? Like, that's how I feel, too. I'm 32, and, like, I realize, I'm like, I don't really watch anything just to watch anymore. Now I'm just like the other day, this is a true story. My wife came home on a Saturday, and I was watching, like, a Civil War documentary. Yeah,
like, oh, look, they're doing submarines.
Right. It was like a History Channel bit. And she's
we're
like,
we're so philosophical.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm like, sorry. And she's like, how old are you? She was like, ashamed. I'm like, just be happy. Learning something.
John, recommendation to throw at you in that space. I have never watched a Formula One race. I don't care about Formula One. The Formula One racing show on Netflix, Drive to Survive, is just outstanding. Have you checked that out at all?
No, actually. Nick Backstrom said that he never was interested in Formula One at all. And over the past, you know, since COVID hit, he started watching, I think it was that show. Yep. I don't know where he started, but, you know, Ford versus Ferrari. That, and he's like, I check the races every time they're on now. I'm like, so engaged in it. He was loving it and telling me to watch it.
I'm telling you, dude, it goes, whatever that is, Netflix has it mastered. Like, Amazon Prime has the all or nothing shows that have all the access over the course of a season with different teams, football, and I know there's been a hockey one maybe. But that Formula One show, again, I think racing is not that awesome. I'm obsessed with that show. It's so good. I promise you'll like it.
Yeah, I'll jump on board. I think I would that would be right up my alley.
All right, we'll squeeze this one in. 5 at 5 coming at the top of the hour. We got a little update on Juan Soto to pass along. But last thing for you, John. As I look at the Penguins at this point, and I see where we're all at in the standings, you said last week you want to win the division, and that's all well and good. Does any part of you not knowing who you're going to play yet feel like maybe you guys like can't show them everything you got or can't run certain things or can't do things because this could be a playoff series, and if you give them your best shot, then somehow you're worse off in a week, or is hockey different than another sport in that way?
Yeah, no, it's totally different. I think that there's obviously some set face-off plays, but they only go so far. I think anybody that's been around the league a little while, there's nothing you haven't seen before. I think it's an execution sport, and obviously there's, you know, certain breakouts or certain forechecks that might work better against a 1-2-2 neutral zone or a, you know, a 1-1-3 or something like that. But there's no special kind of formulas on sneaking up on teams and doing different things. I think it's always kind of a coach's battle, so to speak, in the playoffs, where, you know, you might change your set breakout or your, you know, tweak little things here or there. But when you first get into it as a player, you know, maybe you guys didn't do it last game, but, you know, we played against that formation 45 other times this year. So there's nothing too crazy. And like I said at the beginning, I think it's all about the process for us. It doesn't, you know, we're not picking who we're playing. We're not picking anything. We're just controlling what we can control and play our best brand of hockey down the stretch to lead us into the playoffs feeling good.
John, on this show, we're John Carlson fans. Thank you, buddy. Beat Pittsburgh twice. We hate them so much. See you, man.
Thanks, guys.
Be well.
See you, dude.
John Carlson of the Caps on Grant and Danny. 5 at 5 is next, and we've got a Juan Soto injury update for you. We will get to that first thing we do when we return on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.